And then he didn't get the job, which would have been an experience. How many times did you hit the dump button? Only three, you said?
I only had three on this
That's really good.
Yeah.
You're touchy on the dump button.
A little more than I should
be. You're a little over the top. Honestly, yeah. You only needed to dump one thing, I think. But you were being extra safe, so that's okay.
They were good one-liners, I must admit.
They were terrific.
Our social media mention is powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads. Robert in Brecksville wants to know if we could start a GoFundMe to pay the FCC fine to have unfiltered Greg Williams for 15 minutes.
Be a lot of money.
It's better than, it's better than if we would pre-record these things and we just turn them into the Roadrunner.
It's interesting to me. Greg, of course, and Greg was an offensive coach, and he shared that with us, and was a quarterback when he played, and then became a defensive coordinator, which I've always thought is an interesting thing. You know, Kevin Stefanski's done the same thing. Went from a defense to an offensive coach, because who would, in one theory, who would know an offense better than a guy who's trying to stop it? And then who would know a defense better than, my drift on
Kyle
that.
Kyle Shanahan's notorious for that, where he makes these guys all cross-learn everything.
Yeah, which has been great, isn't it? Yeah, it really is. But Greg said, get rid of the football. We saw that with Jameis Winston, because Jameis got rid of the ball a little bit more. Greg didn't like any of the quarterback play. But Jameis clearly made the offensive line better when he was in there, because he was getting rid of the ball a little bit more, not running all around. As Greg said, the offensive linemen don't have eyeballs, you know where. And so how do they know where you are behind them? And he got Baker to release the ball more quickly. It worked. And that's his key moving forward, right, for the quarterback. But I also thought that I thought it was very interesting that he said, because I asked him, Jameis, Zappy, DTR, Deshaun, rookie, a draft, veteran, whatever, he'd go veteran. He'd bring in a veteran quarterback and put him in this and go.
Well, but that's also, and we got to have this part of it too, that's also the coach side.
Coaches love veterans.
Coaches like vets. Mm-hmm. They trust vets. You know, there's a reason.
If you have the right vet.
Yeah. There is a reason why Greg Popovich is the perfect example, playing as veterans all the time, and all the different coaches in between there. Coaches like veterans because you can put more on veterans' plate. You don't have to teach them. But with getting the ball out fast on top of it, you see it throughout the league. The quarterback who are able to deliver the ball quickly on time and on target, unless they're Lamar Jackson. And even he plays on time and on target as well, with one of the best of them.
Hasn't he? He's just so grown as a quarterback. It's
ridiculous.
He's
turned into a great pocket passer.
He sure has.
And you could say the same thing with a lot of people are thinking Jaden Daniels is going to find himself in that same way. He's got a lot to go to get to that level. Josh Allen has become a really good pocket passer, working on time, on target.
These guys know that eventually you can't continue to take those hits.
Right.
And put yourself in harm's way.
And that's the thing. It's kind of funny how all of this stuff comes back in vogue after a while, because we were in the realm where all these quarterbacks were kind of running around and making things happen. And now you're seeing in the NFL, Bo Nix, perfect example. Why? Sean Payton. What was the thing with the Sean Payton offense in New Orleans? On time, on target. Seven steps, ball out. Five steps, ball out. It just makes life easier on everybody else when you play on time.
Greg not happy with the pre-snap stuff. I understand completely. He says that's on coaching. And I understand the aspect of it where he said, why is it on coaching? Because if it happens, you're out of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean,
couldn't remember if somebody could get to us if Diabate was pulled after.
What's gonna be the case with a player? Why? What do players want to do? They want to play. And if you don't let them play, if they do this, then you would think that gets into their head and they figure that out. And if not, then they're not on your team anymore. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty...
In Greg's world, which I agree with completely.
Well, and it makes sense. What he is saying makes sense, where it's like, if you do something that silly, you need to come over here and you need to think about what you've done. As rudimentary as that statement sounds, it's as truthful as it comes, no matter what walk of life you are. Every so often, when you goof something up, you need to come over here, you got to sit down, and you got to think about what you've done. And think about what we are going to do to make sure that does not happen again. I know people get grumpy with Myles Garrett trying to jump snap counts for that exact reason, and especially on the 1-yard line. I mean, goodness, you've got him pinned back as much as you can, and it's Joe Burrow back there. Like, you can't give that guy a millimeter, let alone 5 yards. Like, it's just, that was the one that did me into. Like, that one just made my brain just hurt. Because it's like, buddy, I know you're trying to make a play. I get it. You're aggressive as it comes, and I appreciate that. But we can't do dumb things. You're killing us. All right.
That's where guys just need to be better. You know, I mean, I understand they're trying to be aggressive, all that stuff. You just have to be better. I found Greg's comments about Myles Garrett pretty interesting. Greg had Myles as a rookie. Obviously, he said he was hard on him. You got to be tough on the best player in the room. That's well said, I think, and he was on Myles. That's going to be something to watch in this offseason. I hope, Dan, I think you hope, we all hope, Myles Garrett's on this team next year. If Myles doesn't like what he sees as the direction of this moving forward, it does give the Browns an opportunity to try to better the team by moving on from, I think, your best player on the team. But I don't want to do that.
Yes.
I don't know. You can get better in doing that. I don't think that this is the situation where you want to do that in. He's so good. He's such a dominant force on the defensive line. And without him, I worry about the defense. I do. Without him, I worry about the defense.
If you and I were to sit down and do a non-quarterback draft, just take everybody else in the NFL besides quarterbacks and throw them all in a pot, and we did a draft, Myles Garrett would be one of the first 5 players taken.
Yeah, I was going to say easy top 10.
I don't want to live in a world where I'm trading one of the 5 best non-quarterbacks in football. I don't know how that makes you better. I'm sorry.
Like, the only way it makes you better is if he decides this doesn't work for me anymore. That's the only way.
He's going to have to come to me and say, you need to get me out of here. I'm not doing it voluntarily.
I'm not selling,
and I know it's first-round picks, but I'm sorry. I am not giving away Hall of Fame talent for a handful of magic beans that I hope can turn into a tangible asset that is 85% of Myles Garrett, 90% of Myles Garrett, if they're really good. I'm not doing it, Jeff. I'm sorry. I'm not living in that world. One Myles Garrett is worth more to me than a handful of magic beans.
I agree with that. And I hope that they can figure it all out and that he's back here next year. We're going to get some thoughts from one of the guys that we respect as much as anybody in our business. And he's not going to be in our business in the same capacity for a whole lot longer. We'll explain all that next because he's joining us on Baskin and Phelps.